Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
And welcome back to Bruin Talk. Jason Siegler was a great golfer at the University of Kansas. Then he worked and opened the Dave Pelz Golf School in Atlanta. A lot of trouble shots out of the Dave Pelz Golf School. Second year as an assistant at UCLA. Welcome to Bruin Talk.
Thanks for having me on, Dave. Looking forward to this.
You're a veteran. Second season.
I know. A lot more experience now. But you also didn't realize what all the stuff you had to do coming in last year. So I still feel overwhelmed with things, but we're excited for the guys we have coming back this year. And we start back up in a week, so looking forward to it.
How different is it coaching at the college level than being a great player like you were?
Well, I've asked, as you saw with my resume, I spent 4 years outside of coaching. So going back into it, I asked a lot of people, what's it like? And they always told me it's so much different than what you were when you were a player. And I didn't realize all the logistics that you had to do, the travel side, getting the guys clothes, all those things. You didn't see all the dirty work that the coaches had to do. So I do a lot of that stuff, but it is very rewarding. I get to watch a lot of great golf with the guys that we have on our team. It is a lot of fun being part of a team like this and being able to coach these guys.
Your players have been all over the world this summer. Of course, Patrick Cantlay was very successful. Tell us how, when those guys come back, how do you bring them back from an individual to a team environment?
Well, one thing that's great right now, Patrick Cantlay was named to the Walker Cup team. So the Walker Cup, very much like a Ryder Cup format for amateurs. Yeah, you have the best amateurs in the United States versus the best amateurs overseas in Great Britain. They're playing that event right now. So with Pat, it should be an easy transition. We're more concerned with Pat being able to be rested, be ready to go for this. He has an extremely busy summer this last year. A lot of people got to watch him on TV. So I'm just excited to see him in person. I haven't seen him since our last event, which was Nationals in Stillwater. I've talked to him on the phone a few times, and I've just been a fan like everybody else. So we're excited to have him back, and we wish him the best this week as he plays in the Walker Cup, which is a tremendous honor for anybody.
He was the subject of so much debate. People really couldn't believe he was coming back to college. He's got the game to turn pro right now. But what is the experience he gained playing in the PGA events going to do for your team as he comes back and shares some of that experience with you?
That's a great question. What Coach Freeman, what myself, what we try to do with our guys is we try to relate everything to PGA Tour. So I was fortunate where I was able to teach some guys on the PGA Tour when I was with Dave Pelz. I've had some guys I played college golf with who are on the PGA Tour now. But now you have somebody on the team like Pat who's played tour events. He's going to have some great stories to tell. He's going to push our guys because now they have somebody that they can play with every single day, they can compete against and say, well, this guy made it. What's lacking in my game versus Pat? And he's going to push our guys. It's only going to make our team better. So we're extremely happy that Pat's coming back. We wanted to make that decision for himself, whatever he decided was best for him. But I think he still wants to do some things. He came runner-up quite a few times and some things as successful as a year he's had. I think he wants to win an NCAA. He wants to be part of an NCAA winning team. So I think he's looking forward to that.
You're one of the teams that gets going real early in the calendar. You're going to be off to Columbus, Ohio for the Jack Nicklaus tournament. That comes right when the guys are getting back into LA. It's a demanding life to be a college golfer, isn't it?
There's a lot of great things that we get to do. We get to play some of the best golf courses right here in LA, across the street, things like that are very close to campus. And I think our travel schedule, we get to take our guys to the best tournaments in the country. But we have the guys back next Monday, and our sport's a little different in the fact that we have 10 guys on the team, and only 5 get to go to these tournaments. So we got to figure out the 5 that are going. And Pat's actually going to be playing in a PGA Tour event during a week prior to Ohio State. So we're not going to take him to Ohio State, so that leaves an open spot for some other people. So we got to figure out who's going to go. It's going to give our guys some great experience. And Ohio State's tournament's new to our schedule, but it's going to be very exciting in the fact that that's where they play a tour event. Jack Nicklaus's Invitational is right there, so we're very excited about that, and I'm sure it's going to be a very, very competitive qualifying.
Jason, you mentioned that the guys are coming back next week, getting back into practice. Golf is obviously a very intensive sport. Everyone's always chasing perfection. Can you tell us how the guys spend their typical week getting ready for a tournament?
We try our best to give our guys, get our qualifying out of the way, because it is very stressful. That's something I knew when I played college golf. Our head coach, Derek Freeman, he played college golf at Oklahoma, and sometimes we put so much pressure on guys just to qualify that they can't prepare for tournaments. So we're going to get our qualifying out of the way next week. That gives us a good week and a half before our first team tournament at Ohio State. So we'll get going next week. We'll start practice. We go twice a week at, in the morning, 7 a.m., where we have the guys up early, which is a great experience for them. We play some in the afternoon as well. We throw in some workouts. And then we want to make sure the guys have a good 2 weeks of they're getting in their class time, they're taking care of their academics before we start traveling, because our October is very, very busy. So they'll be busy. They have a challenging schedule, but they all like that, and they look forward to that routine.
Golf World's coaches poll came out. UCLA Bruins, number one. Mm-hmm. What does that target do to you as you go into a tournament? Does that add any extra pressure?
I think it can a little bit. I think we know the potential that we have. We have a great player in Pat, but we also have some guys following him that are very, very good as well. But we very seldom talk about what we're ranked and the results and what we want to achieve. We just try to take it on a day-to-day basis and take care of the process of things. So I know for an 18-year-old, if I was on a team that was ranked number one, it'd be a lot of pressure. So we have to look at it through their eyes as well. We understand that, and there's always that rank number one 1 week, and then you're not ranked number one the next week. So we want to be ranked the highest when it matters at the end of the year.
You've been a player, and now you're continuing as a coach. What for you is the best part of teaching young golfers the game?
They're able to do things. If you tell them to do something, they're able to do it. We're dealing with not only good golfers, but good athletes, and you're starting to see that with guys like Dustin Johnson and Gary Woodland. They're very good athletes on the PGA Tour, and they've played basketball or they've played other sports, and you're dealing with our guys on the team who can do a lot of other things. They're good athletes, and they can pick up on things very, very quick. So you need to be intelligent in what you say. You need to be efficient with the words that you use, but normally they can do things if you tell them. So it's a lot of fun working with these guys, and you need to be on top of your game. You need to always be learning. So it is a challenge on our part. But we always let them know we make mistakes as well. We're not going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect, but we're always trying to get better, and they appreciate that. So I would say that's one of the joys of what we get to do is we get to watch and we get to help and we get to teach and mentor these guys that are very, very good athletes and the best at what they're doing.
What's your favorite part of the game to teach?
Well, I would always say I'm sitting down, but I've never been a very tall person, so I could never hit the golf ball very far. I always practiced my short game the most when I was a junior. That was probably the best part of my game in my college golf days, and then I taught with a short game school for 4 years, so that's where my experience is. I enjoy helping people try to get the golf ball up and down because it is a very, very big part of the game, and they understand if they have that skill coming out of college, it's going to only help them on the PGA Tour, so I enjoy that. That's where my experience is. But it is fun watching these guys hit it off the tee and hit it as far as they can and watch those things.
Do your players watch pro tournaments on TV? And I'm not just speaking of the men. I'm speaking of the LPGA. Talk about getting the ball up and down. You've got a lot of players mm-hmm. in the LPGA Tour who don't hit it a ton, and they still score 67, 68. Do the guys watch other players, or is that distracting to their games?
I don't think it's distracting. I think if they have time, they like to watch. Some players, though, they only like to play golf, and that's what they like to do, and they want to do something else when they're having their off time. So they'll watch any type of golf. If it's good golf, they watch. If it's interesting, they watch. And there's a lot of other shows that take up their time that's probably not the most useful for as I've come used to living out here in L.A. So they know all the reality shows and all that stuff, but they do keep up with the golf. And right now is exciting. We have playoff golf right now, so you'll see some interesting things, and I'm sure that's something we always talk about during our free time.
As we mentioned earlier, the season's coming up, and it's a long season for you guys. It's grueling. How do those guys make sure that they stay in the mental zone for the long season over until June?
I think that's the most difficult aspect of what we do as coaches and what we have to read with our players. We push them. We have tough weeks Monday through Thursday where they're pretty much up at 5 a.m. and they're going to bed about 10 p.m. after they get done with their tutoring and their studying. We need to know when to take a break. We need to sometimes just give them a whole week off. So I know when I was a player, I always heard a golf coach say, we want our guys playing the best come conference championships and come nationals. And we need to do whatever we can with our schedule to make sure they peak then, because I can't tell you who the best team last year was during October or even February, but I can tell you who won the national championship last year. And that's what we got to try to do. So it's about peaking at the right time. And that comes with getting our guys in shape right now, giving them rest when they need to. And we tried to schedule in a way that we stayed out here on the West Coast as much as possible because Nationals are in our hometown at Riviera.
You talk about the Monday through Thursday schedule. It's a long day, but how is that broken down? How much time on the golf course? Mm-hmm. How much time doing conditioning early in the season?
During October, because we're busy with our tournament schedule, we'll try to give the guys as much time just getting used to playing, getting used to being around each other. So we'll spend 4 hours in the morning playing golf, then maybe an hour with the conditioning. So that's our allotment of time. We have to be careful we don't overdo that and keep track of those hours. So we definitely spend more time on the golf course, let's face it. I've seen some good golfers who have won tournaments not be in great shape, and we have to realize that it's about getting the golf ball in the hole as little shots, as few shots as you can. So, but the travel is demanding. We want our guys in good shape, and we do push them in the workout room and trying to get themselves in better shape.
Boy, 20 years ago, you wouldn't see a golfer caught dead in the workout room unless they were going to get the donuts off the pile. What kind of workouts are good for your sport?
You're always starting to see it's evolving all the time. Everything's changing. I know when I got into college, you had Tiger Woods, who was just getting extremely strong. And I don't think people knew exactly what to do with golf workouts. And we were doing a lot of stuff that baseball players were doing, forearm strength, things like that. And you're starting to see a big push toward balance and stability, and there's so many different types of things you can do with that. So we have a great trainer. Jackie Harris is very creative with the things that she does for our guys, and it never stays static. It's always changing, always evolving. So what we're doing this month is going to change from next month, and we're always trying to push the guys, and we're trying to research as much stuff out there on what the guys on tour are doing and help our guys as much as possible.
With the season coming up, lastly, can you tell us what your outlook is for this season?
I'm excited. I'm excited to get the guys back. I think we got a great team, and I like being around the guys, and they're good people, and they're good players. So if we push them, if they peak, and if they perform up to their ability, I think we can be as good as we want to. The goal is, though, if we get the most out of our players, I think we'll be very happy at the end of the year.
And tell us how fans can come out and actually see the Bruins.
Well, this year's national championship at Riviera. Now, that's in early part of June, but that's 10 minutes away from campus. That's the best place to see us. We do host a tournament in Coeur d'Alene Resort, but that's 3.5-4 hours north and just south of San Jose. So I'd say mark your calendars, get ready for nationals at Riviera. That only comes around every once in a while because it is it does change sites every year. So we're looking forward to that. The guys are excited. It's a beautiful place, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, you can follow all the exploits of the Bruins on the UCLA website. Jason Siegler, thanks for joining us,
and
good luck this season.
Thank you very much.
We'll come right back for more Bruin Talk after this brief public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions meet here.
Welcome back to Bruin Talk. It's now time to honor our UCLA Student Athlete of the Week. This week, we honor Bojana Todorovic of the women's volleyball team for her fantastic performance in the opening of the season. At the LMU Invitational, the junior tied a 28-year-old school record with 8 service aces in a single match and helps the team capture a full sweep of the Invitational. Bojana continued her phenomenal play in the Rainbow Wahine Volleyball Classic over Labor Day weekend, where she posted her 10th career double-double with 11 kills and 10 digs in the Bruins match against Ohio State. Congratulations, Bojana, for all of your accomplishments so far this season, and best of luck to the women's volleyball team in the rest of the 2011 season. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at www.uclabruins.com.
You know, autumn is a wonderful time of year when people return to college, and somebody that knows a lot about returning to Westwood is Randy Lane. He's coming back for his third stint as an assistant coach for UCLA Gymnastics. Something keeps drawing you back to Westwood.
Absolutely. You know, it's like home. You know, I feel like I'm around family, and When Valerie offered me the position once again, I jumped at it. So.
Well, it's got to be exciting to work with Miss Val. She is a unique person and brings a lot of spark to things. And you have a good working relationship with her, obviously.
We do, and you're right. She is unique, and I look at her as a mentor and a friend. It's been wonderful working with her and growing and learning from her and with her.
Randy, you've now coached at UCLA and at Santa Barbara. How did the coaching experiences compare between the schools?
Both were incredibly positive experiences. You know, having started here and moved to Santa Barbara as the head coach, I was a little in over my head. So it was a really growth and learning experience there. I was calling Val every day on the phone. I was a very young head coach at that point. So I did learn a lot. And, you know, the UC system is such a wonderful system to be a part of. And then, you know, Santa Barbara just being up the road, it was a great experience for me. I have since moved on from there, and I wish that Santa Barbara still had a gymnastics program. It would be incredible for not only Southern California, but for UCLA as well.
You have the perspective of being a national champion athlete, 1989 Illinois, and a coach. How did your experiences as part of such a successful team shape your coaching?
Great question. You know, it seems like forever ago that I was a part of a national championship program as an athlete. I think that has developed me to be more patient and to be more understanding of the student and athlete. I really think that being the student athlete that I was and winning the national championship at the end of my career helped me be able to parlay into the coaching world a little bit easier than some of my teammates, perhaps, because a lot of them weren't minded or weren't geared towards coaching. I just loved the aspect of coaching, and I did it during the summers or whenever I could when I was an athlete.
Continuing on with how your student-athlete experience is helping your coaching, last year the Bruins had 7 women recognized for Scholastic Honors. Being a former student-athlete yourself, what kind of academic advice are you looking to give your athletes?
You know, I think the one thing that I always try to stress to my student-athletes to be proactive. Get to know your professors. Be in the first couple of rows. Have them know that not only you're an athlete, but that you're a student first. Some of the things that I really try to encourage from the freshman year all the way through their senior year is to find answers in one way or another. Ask questions because there's no dumb questions.
You know, Randy, UCLA Women's Gymnastics has been a very popular program with the fans. Pauley Pavilion, 5,000, 6,000 people. Coach Wooden used to attend regularly. This year, you're going to be moving into the John Wooden Center, about 2,500 seats. It's going to be a loud, raucous atmosphere. Tell us how that change is going to work going into the smaller facility after the Pauley Pavilion experience.
I think it's so exciting. You know, when I first started coaching here, we were in the Wooden Center, and that's where we competed. That's where the first Perfect 10 was ever performed, was on floor exercise by Amy Thorne. So for me, it's really like coming home because that's where I started my coaching career, and that's where it's coming back to. So it's kind of fun. We're all very excited, the coaching staff, and we're really excited about having that closeness and that really high energy in the Wooden Center. I think it's going to be incredible, and I hope that everyone comes to it because it will be a treat that will never be matched again, I think, once we go back into Pauley. So I think it's really, really exciting.
I know the girls just reported a couple days ago for preseason training. Can you tell us a little bit about what you guys do during this fall period leading up to the season, what kind of cross-training you guys are doing to get the girls in shape?
You know, it's all pretty new to me. You know, I'm following Val and Chris's lead right now and just kind of following what we've done in the past that's worked, and I've given my ideas as well. So I'm the new guy again, the new guy for the third time. So we're doing a lot of conditioning and a lot of basics. Basics in gymnastics are to reinforce the shapes and to, you know, figure out what is going to work for every athlete and try to hone their skills so that by the time we get into the routine aspect of the fall later on, it will all be perfected then.
Gymnastics is one of the interesting sports where the athletes a lot of times establish their credentials before they come into a college program. You've got Maddie Larson coming in from the national team, silver medalist in the worlds. What is it like having somebody with that international experience join the college squad?
I think you can look at the history of this program here and every year, every few years, that same person with the same resume comes in. I believe that we're all on the same level. Whether you've won an Olympic gold medal or a world championship medal in the past, you're a Bruin and you're part of this family. And so I think there's never a pedestal for anyone. And I think that's the joy of working here and working with these athletes, because we have the best athletes in the world. And they don't come off as the best athlete in the world. They really truly are humbled to be a part of something and really take it as an honor.
Ms. Val and the UCLA gymnastics program is notorious for recruiting athletes from all over the nation and all over the world. How do the girls come together to be one cohesive unit with all of those different kind of backgrounds and different perspectives?
It's always a challenge, but I think it's an incredible challenge. I think it makes up the demographic of UCLA. There are so many foreign student athletes here or athletes from different parts of this country. And I think that's what makes this an incredible journey for all of those athletes, because they're learning new things not only from their surroundings but from their teammates or from within the athletic community or within the university community. So to answer the question in the how it helps, I think it helps on a daily basis to have an understanding and a perspective outside of your little bubble and to be able to make your bubble a little bit bigger.
Allison mentioned that the athletes are just checking into school now. You've got a long stretch ahead of you before you get to Pac-12 tournaments and NCAA gymnastics. You want to get to the Super Six, but what are they doing now? How do you pace the training that you'll do leading up to when it really counts?
You know, I'm such an excited person. I get so fired up about thinking about the end. We have to think about now. You know, Val said the other day in our first team meeting, we have 228 days until the end of our season. So let's make every one of those days important. You know, it's a matter of figuring out how to pace and figuring out a timeline that we are going to be at our best at the end of the season. Those are things that all three of us coaching staff, as well as Amy Smith, who is our new volunteer coach, we're able to bring our personalities to the table along with the athletes to make this season what we need to do to balance it out. I'm just so excited for, you know, yesterday it was such an incredible day one that I cannot wait till 228 days later. So,
what's your favorite thing about coaching? And I want to ask you a sub-question of that. How difficult is it for a male gymnast to coach women gymnasts?
It was extremely difficult when I first started out. I was only a couple of years older than the seniors when I first started here at UCLA way back in 1992. I think as I've grown as a coach, the thing that I really enjoy is seeing the journey of the athlete, seeing them come in as a freshman and seeing them graduate and then see them at their wedding and then see them with their children. I've lived enough of that now that I have those aspects of my coaching career. So I really have enjoyed the process of which we take the athletes through from the very beginning until they become a quote, adult.
Obviously, any team here at UCLA's main goal is to win a national championship. What are the smaller goals that you guys have set for the team this year to eventually get you to that final destination?
I think if you think about the end product, it will come maybe, but I think you have to think of each step along the way of how you're going to achieve that goal. That's something that we have really discussed since I've gotten here, and it's I can't even tell you how excited we are for this coming year just because it's a different energy. It's a different energy for me because I'm back and it's new. And Val and Chris have both said it's such a great energy, not only with me being here, but with the entire athletes that are coming on now. Yesterday was an incredible day to feel the energy in the gym and see how motivated they were. You know, sometimes athletes will come in and just be relaxed on the first day. And they weren't. They were motivated. They were ready to go. And it's exciting.
With the move to the Wooden Center, these tickets are going to go fast. These events are going to sell out. So you've got to get in line early. Randy, welcome back to Westwood. And best of luck with the Bruins this year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of UCLA Bruin Talk. Allison and I will be back next time with another great show. Until then, so long from Westwood.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.